You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Whenever something is mentioned in Scripture, to me, it's very important. It's very significant. But this particular word is mentioned 5 or 6 times in the Scriptures. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." In Psalm 106:1, it says the same. In Psalm 107:1, it says the same. In Psalm 118:1, it says the same. In Psalm 118:29, it says the same. And in Psalm 136:1, it says the same. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is, again, what?
Good.
For he is what?
Good.
Here's the thing that you need to understand in reference to God being good. When it comes to you and me, we have to strive to be good. Did y'all catch that? I said, when it comes to me, when it comes to you, we have to strive to be good. But understand, when it comes to God, God does not have to strive or try to be good. God is good. Come on. I said, he does not have to strive like you and I to be good. God is simply good. And that's something that every child of God needs to recognize, that when it comes to God, God is good and he always will be good. And we need that understanding this morning, that again, when it comes to God, God is good. Y'all quiet. God is good even when things are not going the way you desire them to go in your life. Guess what? God's still good. I say God's still good. Even when you want it to go a particular way and you prayed that it would go that way, even if it don't go that way that you prayed about, guess what? God is still good. Even if you seem like you're going through one trial after another trial, I don't care how bad or tough the trials may be, God is still good. Your trials don't change him from being good. Your trouble don't change God from being good. God is going to be God, and God is good. Oh, we used to say a saying, God is good all the time, and all the time God is what?
Good.
Tell your neighbor, that's something to be thankful about this morning. Tell him that God is good. That is something as a child of God that, again, we need to be thankful about. I want to deal this morning with 3 things about God that makes him so good. Because, see, what a lot of folk going to do, and they're going to be hypocritical in it, they're going to be thankful only because to them it's a holiday season. Y'all know I'm real. But to me, a child of God needs to be thankful every day. We don't need to wait till the 3rd or 4th week in November to start telling God how thankful we are and how grateful we are. Listen, not only for him, but for our family and for others that he has placed in our life. You should live a life where you're thankful or where you're grateful. Amen. But notice, I want to deal again with 3 aspects of God being a good God. And hopefully I will stir your hearts and I'll stir your minds to be grateful when it comes to your God. First of all, let's notice Psalms 86. Y'all stick with me now. Psalm 86. Because again, remember, it's important to me this morning that you have understanding. And some of this stuff I've already said, but I'm going to be repeating myself. But how many know when you really need to learn something, sometimes something has to be said more than one? Or some of y'all should have said a show enough hallelujah. Because when it come to you, you need it to be said several times. And ain't nothing wrong with that sometimes. And then you say, I get it. I got it. Thank you, Pastor, for preaching that again and again. No, thank the Lord for having me to preach it again and again. Because sometimes when I say certain stuff, I may preach a part one, a part two, a part three. And some of us just like, you know, well, I guess he just want to do that. No, that's what God want us to have. God ain't finished saying what he said. Or some have yet to receive what it is that God want them to receive. So notice again, when it comes to Psalm 86 and 5, this is very important this morning. I need everyone listening. Psalm 86 and 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. For you, Lord, are good. Notice one good thing about God. He ready to forgive. Woo, I should have got more folk happy up in here. I said, notice what the psalmist says again. Because this right here hit home. For you, Lord, are good and ready to do what? Tell your neighbor, God is ready to forgive. You know what I appreciate about God? That he ready to do it, because there are those who are not ready to forgive. Thank God when we mess up. Thank God when we blow it. He ready to forgive us. I said he's sitting on ready to give us some forgiveness and some mercy. Don't sit there and act like you ain't ever messed up. Don't act like you ain't ever blew it, you ain't ever missed it, and needed mercy or forgiveness. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of who? All of us from time to time mess up. Thank y'all over here on my right, because these folks on my left ain't saying nothing, or they ain't saying it loud enough for me to hear one. It might be me. For the Lord is good and ready to forgive. This is what the church need to understand. When you fall or when you mess up, don't stay down. Don't let nobody keep you down. See, church folk are bad about knowing when somebody mess up and don't want to let them up, want to keep them down. Not realizing when you messed up, you wanted some mercy. But when somebody else errors, you have no mercy to give them. And one big problem in the church is that when people error, instead of us being ready to forgive and ready to show love, we ready to stone them. And if they don't get what we think they deserve, we upset. And as children of God, we should have God's attributes. If God is willing to forgive, Lord have mercy, why can't I? You know, reading it's so easy for me to forgive folk. It's because I know I wrong people. I know I do stuff. Some of y'all looking at me strange. I said, that's the reason when it comes to Pastor Cochran. I give forgiveness because I know I need forgiveness. And I know if I'm too hard on you, he might just decide to be hard on me. And I don't need that. Because why? Because I'm subject to fall. Remember what I said about falling? Two things I wanted y'all to remember. When you fall, number one, don't try to justify your fall. If you mess up, confess up. Confess up. If you do wrong, just get it what? Right. Tell that to somebody. When you do wrong, just get it right. It should be easy, because everybody you go to church will, from time to time, get it wrong too. Why so hard to get it right when you know you're not the only one that gets it wrong? This message really need to be preached at the church, especially a place of refuge. Don't justify it. Justify means don't make excuses for your actions. And certainly don't try to blame it on somebody else. If you wrong, you just what? Wrong. And if somebody wrong, no matter how close y'all are, don't you tell them they right. You still tell them, look, I love you. But when it come to that, when it come to what you did, when it come to what you said, when it come to how you acted, you wrong. And if that breaks the relationship, it really wasn't a relationship in the first place. You just like that I went along with everything you said. Definitely some of us scared to tell folk they wrong. We think they're going to stop calling us. You think they ain't going to want to have nothing to do with you. And listen, that might be the truth. Because there are a number of you up in here. You cannot handle people telling you you're wrong. Not flat out, period. And then they don't even go on and discuss it. How many of you had somebody did point blank tell you you were wrong? Sure enough wrong. Y'all didn't let me finish, but hold on. And you got upset with that person. Raise your hand. You got upset with them. You knew they were right, but it still, it ticked you off. You don't really not know, because plenty of time y'all come here on Sunday and leave here upset with me about something I done preached or said that you think I only preach because of what somebody else told me. I ain't ever going to come out here and preach nothing just because one person told me something. I'm not even going to come out here and preach on one person. Before I do that, I'll meet with that one person. But if I am preaching on one person, God deems what I'm preaching on bigger than the one person. If somebody else need to hear that. Don't try to justify when you're wrong. Learn to come in. And don't let it take hours and days. Because that's how some of us are. We're going to come in, but it's going to take 3 to 4 long days. Right? And some of you like me, you kind of swift at getting it right. But note that. Don't try to justify it. It ain't worth it. Number two, don't brush it off. When you mess up and somebody getting on you, don't act like, well, just move on. It ain't that big of a deal. Yeah, dear, let's stay here for a while. Let's unpack right here for a while. Reason being, it's because whenever we mess up, saints, there's something to be learned. See, don't move on from a mistake too quick and you haven't learned why you fail and why you did what you did. Come on, we have to be, whenever you fall, learn from your mistake, learn from your error, and get better. Once I've done wrong, I cannot go back and erase what I've done, but I can get better because of my experience. And that's me. Whenever I mess up, I'm looking to get better. I'm looking to examine myself, not try to shift the blame on nobody else. I just want to examine myself and learn a little bit more about me. And sometimes, guess what I've learned in time past? That I wasn't where I thought I was, and it brought humility in my life. It humbled me. I thought one time I got in a place where nobody could push my button. It was hard to get me riled. Then went off about something silly. Had to repent and say, Lord, today. Not yesterday, not last week. Today, I was not where I needed to be. That reason it's good to have a prayer life. I say good to have a prayer life. Sometimes having a good prayer life will help you keep your mouth closed when you want to open your mouth. This good teaching whether y'all shouting or not. Don't y'all shout too loud because I want them to be able to hear me on the CD. The Lord is ready to forgive. Another problem with the church. Even when folk, some church folk, when they do fall, some of us make it hard for people to come back. Yes. as saints, we should let people know we praying you come back. We praying you get it right. We ain't looking down on nobody. Look, we love you. That should be. Sometimes the church runs people from the church when they mess up instead of grabbing them and pulling them to the church. I ain't gonna let you stay out there without letting you know I love you and that I'm praying for you. It ain't a time to judge. Some of y'all's too quick to judge. Listen, I don't care what people say. When you mess up, don't run from God. Run to God. When you fall, run to God. Even if everybody in the church talking about you, run to God. Don't run from him. Run to the church. When you mess up, have it in your mind, I'm going to church anyhow. Y'all should be happy about this message. Should nobody be upset about this? This good teaching. Why? Because all of us fall. All of us fall. It ain't one of you in here can raise your hand and say you haven't failed. But here what, it finna get tight. And I got Bible to back me up. We are harder on people who get caught, especially in public. We harder on them folk. Even though you know you got stuff going on, nobody know about what you got going on. But when somebody fall in the public, we ready to crucify before we consider our own issues. So I told you I had Bible to back me up. Go to John, the 8th chapter. Do you, y'all just don't realize how many people done messed up and church folk made it hard for them to come back. Made it hard on them, especially young people. You'd be surprised how many young folk done been crucified in church for wearing something too short. And just because we 40, 50, and 60, we say now, but there are pictures to prove that at one time you wore things too short. Come on, yeah, you the mother of the church now, but mother, there are pictures to prove that you wasn't born a mother. You a minister now, but you hadn't always been a minister. You a deacon now, you cleaned up, but you hadn't always been a deacon. So leaders and parents, we have to be careful. I told y'all, but you didn't hear me, most of you, that sometimes people will mess up, in particular children, and we ready to get the belt out, we ready to ground them, help, thank you. But while going to beat them down, God remind you of yourself. You put the belt up. You hug them, you love them, you pray with them, you talk to them, and you encourage them. Why? Because they didn't need a whooping at that time. Every time somebody mess up, don't mean you need to do what was done last time. See, I taught that, but we missed it. And I ain't going to ask parents here to raise your hand that you whoop your children sometime or you've been too hard on them. You know what I mean? I'm not going to ask because every one of us, if we be honest, if you got multiple children, you have to raise your hand this morning. And I don't want you to raise your hand then get in your car and your child be on you. And you feel like I gave them an advantage. I taught this. One thing good about God, he ready to forgive. Ready. But some of us, when folk wrong us, we feel like I got them now. I'm going to hold this over. I'm going to make them do what I want them to do when I want them to do it. See, you wrong. You wrong. If you hear now and somebody done wronged you and they ask for forgiveness but you still holding it open, you wrong for that. Jesus even taught his disciples that if they come to you multiple times, 70 times 7, and ask for forgiveness, you should forgive. Let's deal with the text, because I got to move on. I can't stay here all day. Notice John 8:2. Now, early in the morning, he came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Imagine that. She wasn't the only adulterer in the city, but she was the only one they dragged before Jesus. And then drag her before Jesus saying, "Lord, touch her, pray for her, show her some mercy." They got something else in store for this woman. Now Moses in the law commanded her that such should be stoned. Now watch this. They trying to set him up. But what do you say? We thinking she need to be killed. What you say? Now he God. He the one ready to what? This they say it testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at a first. Whoever ain't ever messed up, you go ahead and stone. Throw first, matter of fact. Throw first. Let the one that feel like he really the goody two shoe. Let make sure he throw the first stone. With that being said, that's normally the first ones to throw. It's the ones that feel like they better than everybody else anyhow. Nobody should feel that way. Not even pastor. Why? Because I done told you up front, I mess up. Again, he stooped down, wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it began being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one. Did y'all see that? Being convicted by their what? Conscience, knowing they done wrong. Went out. Check it out. One by one, they just start leaving. Beginning with the oldest, even until the last, Jesus was left alone with them. The woman standing in the midst. When he raised himself up and saw no one but who? No one but who? See, let me bring you some revelation. What Jesus liked about the woman is that when everybody else had left, she stayed. She wanted to hear what he had to say. If you're going to correct me, I'm not moving. I'm going to stay. I know I'm free because everybody that was going to kill me is gone. But I still respect you enough. I want to know what you got to say. That's what he respected about her. She was willing to receive correction. When you mess up, you should be willing to receive correction no matter how it comes. Because correction comes when it comes from God. A God leader, it comes with love. No one correcting you to belittle you. No one correcting you to put you out on blast. Throw shade at you. Come on. Correcting you because what? Love you. Love you and want to see you do better. Sooner or later at this church, I'm going to preach a message that gets next to you. Sooner or later, I may not even be hitting you right now, but tell your neighbor, hang around a little longer. Tell your neighbor, say one day, he gonna preach something to get next to you. Cause I preach stuff get next to myself. Come on, no need in you get mad if the word hits you. No need in you leaving the church if the word hits you. That should let you know, thank God I'm at the right church because that word hit me. That word hit me. Thank God pastor was praying because I needed some correction today. No need in you shouting and jumping when I'm preaching houses and calls, but when I'm preaching correction, you just, you mean mugging me. That ain't right. That ain't right. That's saying to me, then, you all right with me long as I preach what you want me to preach. And some folk like that. You all right with them long as you do what they want you to do. And the moment you don't do what they want you to do, they gonna then let you know what they really feel about you. Why? Because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. But I'm showing you an example where Jesus, when dealing with this woman, is not going to do what the Pharisees want him to do. Listen to me. That's a sign of a good leader. That's a sign of a good leader. That even when pressure put on him or her, they ain't going to just do something just to satisfy one or two people. I'm not going to move and get out the will of God just to make somebody happy. Because even once I've done it and got out the will of God, that person liable to still be upset with me about something. And then I'm looking at myself like, man, I ain't got all out the will of God trying to please you. And what I did still didn't please you, and now I'm messed up with God. It takes boldness to be a leader. When you have to make a decision that you know your followers are not going to agree with you on this one. They ain't going. But I like the boldness of Jesus. Come on. And see, some of us never knew why he showed the woman the type of kindness he did. Again, she could have left. But when Jesus looked up, only the woman was left there. Showing remorse or repentance. See, that's what you look for when people mess up. You look for remorse. You look for repentance. Not just being sorry that they got caught, but being sorry for the very actions. For the very actions. Are y'all still with me? Yeah. Verse 9. Then those who heard it being convicted by their conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. Jesus was left alone. The woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin what? Go and don't do it again. Go and don't let it happen again. And these Pharisees is looking at him like, that's all she get for adultery? Huh? That's it? That's it. Something wrong with you when a brother or sister gets mercy and it angers you. I know growing up something was wrong with me. Because my brothers and sisters would do things sometimes. And when I come home and I hear about it, I'm like, I know they got their butt tore up. They ain't even whooped. What? I did the same thing, got a woman. You wanted them to get a woman. You had something to do that day, but you didn't go do what you had to do. You came home early because you not only wanted to get the woman, you wanted to hear him get it. You knew you sitting right there like that. Mom, waiting on you. I mean, it's been that way. And I know some of you saying, pal, that wasn't me. I was in there pleading that they didn't go get the whooping. Where are you at? Where are you at this morning that you were hoping they just get by and get mercy, even though you got a whooping, you want them to get mercy? Where you at? How many want to get a whooping? Y'all wrong. Some of you ain't saying nothing. Some of you ain't even answering. Go and sin no more. See, one thing you got to realize about God, God ain't fair, God just. I say God ain't fair, he just. And if we're going to be Christian saints, I mean real Christians, we got to have that heart like God. That when folk mess up, we got to be willing, ready to forgive. Some of our homes are off balance because people within the home are not ready to, we're not ready to forgive folk. Go to Galatians 6 and 1 and then I'm going to be done with this part of why we need to, why God is good. Some of us, I hope we receive. And I mean, that's one thing I give God praise for, because I know, Lord, have mercy. God been merciful to me. I said, God been showing up good to me. And I needed that forgiveness time and time again. But you know what I was glad about? About like David, sometime when you mess up, boy, ain't you glad that folks ain't your judge? Woo! Hey! How many know that's right? How many know you ain't got to sit before 12? 12 ain't got to judge you. Sometimes you can just go to that throne. Come on. And know that God will show you some what? Know that God will show you some what? Tell your neighbor, next time you mess up, you remember this message. That your God is so good that he's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to cleanse you. And guess what? Restore you. That's what God wants. Whenever God forgive a person, he then ready to restore that person. Build them back what? Up. Even sometime when God forgive us, he's so good in it that what the sin of the error should have cost us, God, don't even allow it to happen. Don't even allow it to happen. He said, I'm gonna show you so much. Your enemies want me to kill you right now. But I'm going to show you mercy, because that's how good I am. And those of you that's not happy about it, God save you of your sins, even though you were messed up from the flow up. He forgave you of your mess time and time again. And you ought to be thankful for that. You should be grateful. Matter of fact, we should give him a praise right now. Because he saved us. He forgave us. He cleansed us. He restored us. When we deserve death, he gave us life. Come on. All of us deserve hell. But because of mercy, you get heaven. Tell me he ain't a good God. Tell me he ain't a merciful God. That he will give us mercy. That's something to be thankful about. That's something to be grateful about. Notice this, and then I got to move on. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, you who are what?
Spiritual.
You who are what?
See,
when folks are overtaken, when people fall, everybody don't need to handle it. Folk need to be what? Spiritual. When you mess up, make sure you go to somebody spiritual. Somebody mature in the word. Why, Pastor? Because they know they should know how to restore you, how to help you. Come on. You are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of what? In the spirit of what? Tell your neighbor, when our brothers and sisters mess up, we should operate with a spirit of gentleness. Right? I don't know why folks are frowning off a good message like this. I really didn't think I'd get this response. I'm being honest with you. This is a good word right here. When somebody come to you and they tell you they done did something they have no business doing, you need to operate in the spirit of gentleness. Don't you be ready to get that machete out on them. Come on. You operate in a spirit of what? Gentleness. You don't let the sin go. You got to deal with it, right? But you got to operate in a spirit of gentleness. Notice why. Notice where that come from. Considering yourself. Lest you also be what? Tempted. Tell your neighbor, be careful.
How hard
You are on someone. Tell him you can do. You can make the same mistake. You can make the same mistake. You can do the same thing. That's the reason I need to consider who? Myself. Anytime I deal with folk, I'm considering myself. Amen? And if you can't deal with it, send that person to somebody who can deal with it. Don't you mess them up. Don't you mess them up. Don't you tell them something that ain't right. Come on. But tell your neighbor, God is good. Number one, because he's ready to forgive. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I'm finna be done. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Well, I thought that right down, man. I don't know. Lord have mercy. Saint, we gotta love each other. Through it all. Tell your neighbor, through it all, we gotta love one another. Tell them through our ups, through our downs, through our good times, through our rough time, we gotta love one another. How many know every family gonna have a rough period? Everything not gonna be smooth. How many know in your family sometimes everything ain't smooth? You may try to come to church making folk think your family the Brady Bunch. But we know y'all not the Brady Bunch. We know you're not the Partridge Family. We know you good times. Come on, we know. And we know we got some JJs. We got some Thelmas. Come on. And what was the janitor? Booger. 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 Got some haters. But understand, every family gonna go through stuff. But when we going through, guess what we got to do? We got to love each other. We got to love each other. Because Pastor Cox going to love you now. And the one reason I'm going to love you is because I'm not going to hell for not loving you. That's my motivation for loving you no matter what you do to me. It don't matter about me. I'm going to love you because I'm not going to hell. Come on. And we have to love each other. Now, number two, God is good. Let me show you another reason. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the what? 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the what? Victory through our Lord who? Tell your neighbor, God is so good that he gives us. Shout what he give you. Shout what he give you. Shout what he gives you. Tell your neighbor, that's the reason I'm thankful. Because no matter what I go through, he gives me the victory. If you can't get excited knowing your God gives you the victory, you got victory through him. But let me deal with it. But every victory is not going to be easy. You have the victory, so be thankful, but it's not going to be easy every single time. And I dealt with the Benjaminites having something God had given them. He'd given them victory. He'd given them a good land, divided it amongst the tribes. Listen carefully. But when it came time for the tribe of Benjamin to possess their blessing, they weren't willing to fight hard enough. And the reason some of us are not getting the victory is because we're not willing to fight hard enough. They should have ran the Jebusites out of town and took their land. But because they didn't know they had the victory the way they needed to, in particular, they didn't trust God or put their faith in him, because that's how we get the victory according to 1 John 5 and 4. Listen what they did, church. They settled. And allowed the Jebusites to remain with them. Your God is too good for you to settle. Don't you settle. You get everything he got for you. I said you get everything God got for you and you be everything God has ordained for you to be. Don't you settle. Don't you settle. They compromise. and basically said to the Jebusite, who was a ruthless and relentless enemy, a bold enemy, well, since we can't drive y'all out, y'all stay on y'all side and we stay on our side. But somebody better hear me this morning. God is too good for me to settle. He's too good for me to settle. The reason I'm not going to settle is because better is here and better is coming. Why settle when you can have better? You just simply got to fight this time like you ain't ever fought before, but the victory is yours. You might have to up your prayer. You may have to up your giving. You may have to up your loving, but the victory is a guaranteed victory because the God that you serve is too good to allow you to lose. And if God be for you and the whole world against you, you and God are more. You ask me why I praise God. God is the one gave me the victory. My job didn't give me the victory. My family didn't give me the victory. I praise God because he gave me the victory. That's the reason I'm grateful. I may not have all that you got, but I know I got victory. I know I can shout with you about your blessing because I know it's my season too. I ain't got to get jealous. Just like he gave you victory, he also gave me victory. High five three people and tell them we got the victory. Y'all about to make me show enough preach up in here. We got the victory. Tell somebody else, you better smile like you got that victory. What you frowning for? You got the victory. Why you pull mouthing? You got the victory. Victory is for your house this year. Victory is for your children this year. Victory in your finances. Victory in your body. Victory in your marriage. This is the year of what? Victory. Even though it's disguised in defeat, thanks be to our God. Why? He gave it to us. Sit down. Now, when it came, if you don't mind, when it came to David, tell your neighbor, David was not of the tribe of Benjamin. Tell your neighbor, David was of the tribe of Judah, the people of praise. So when David came to the city of Jebus, and the Jebusite told him he couldn't come in, he couldn't have it, David said, the devil is a lie. I serve a God that has given me the victory. And let me tell you something. David knew one thing we need to know. The victory ain't just for me. I'm going to get the victory so God will get the praise. I'm going to get the victory so God will get the glory. God has given you this victory not for you to get the glory, but he wants to get the glory on your job. He wants to get the glory in your family. He wants to get the glory when you testify about what he did. He wants to get the glory when you tell him about the money that came. He wants to get the glory when you tell him about the healing that manifested. High five, 3-4, tell him God gets the glory. The people of praise, we going to give God the praise for this victory. God is good, saints, because he gives us the victory. Listen, even when the odds are stacked against you, your God is so good that he'll still give you. Some of you going through in your house and folk telling you it ain't going to work out right for you. Listen to your pastor. God has given you the victory, which says it will work out for your good. Why? You got the victory. That's the reason you need to what? Give thanks to him. Tell your neighbor, this is no time for you to be depressed or oppressed about your trials. Tell your neighbor, your God is so good that he already gave you the victory. Tell your neighbor, matter of fact, before the battle even started, the devil and every demon already knew, as a child of God, you already had the victory. You had the victory before the battle got started. You had the victory from the very beginning. But enemies come to what? Deceive. Make you think God is not a good God. That he left you, he abandoned you. and that there's no way you're going to get the victory. No, listen to what Pastor telling you. You got to know your God is so good that thanks is due to him. Listen, church, because he already gave me the victory. And I know that's hard for some of us to believe because you saying, Pastor, I can't see victory. Listen, you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. You keep hoping, even though naturally speaking, you don't see anything worth hoping for. You hope because you know how good he is. God had put me in situation. I gave him the praise on credit because I knew his resume. I knew how good he was. And so I ain't going to wait until the battle is over. I'm going to shout now. Don't wait until your truck comes in. Shout now. Shout even if it look like the ship is stuck at sea. You better shout because shouting will bring that ship in. Shouting will bring that miracle in. Shouting will cause that loved one to get saved. Even when people think I'm being defeated, I'm not going to show you the face I know you want to see. I done learned to put on my victory face. Pastor, how you put on your victory praise? James 1, I count it all joy. Tell your neighbor, you better learn to count it all joy. Tell him because your God is a good God. Anybody ready to preach up in here? Go to one person and tell him your God is a good God. You got to go in a preaching voice though. I said you got to go to him in your preaching voice. Go to somebody and shake that hand real good and tell him you serve a good God. I don't care if the company did lay you off. You serve a good God. Are y'all receiving this? Are y'all receiving you got the victory? Shout like you got it in. Clap like you got the victory. Let demons know you got the victory. Let the devil himself know I got the victory. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what they saying. A good God gave me the victory. I'm trying to close, but God is stirring me. He didn't even base the victory on what I had. He based the victory on who he is. And that is a good God. I challenge you to go back and listen to the New Year's Eve message. Boy, I told you to watch three things this year. Your association, your determination, and what else? And your conversation. I told us if we wanted the victory, we had to watch our associations. Because see, some of you think now when I preach on association, you think I'm preaching on you. But I'm not. Go back. First year. First message. I'm telling you, if you want the victory, watch your associations. Victory don't come from some of us because we ain't willing to cut loose from certain people. I told you, watch your what? Determination. I told you couldn't quit. It might get tough this year, but I told you can't throw in the towel. You got to be determined no matter what happened to you. New Year's Eve message. Then I said, watch your conversation. You can't have victory talking defeat. You can't have victory and all you do is poor mouth. If you're going to get victory, it has to come out of your mouth. Hold on. With conviction. I will never in my life again ever speak that I'm broke. God got too much money for me to say about myself I'm broke. I had to talk with a person. Y'all sit down because I'm closed. I had to talk with a person lately. One speaking nothing but death on their own life. And I told him, I said, I just preached that. I just preached. You got to watch your conversation. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm going to get the victory. So what? Put your feelings in check, man. Pray till you feel like it. Get in the word until you know you got victory. Come on. But to get to saying what I don't need to say based on circumstances, I can't do that, saints. I can't do that. Well, he act like he got everything. No, it ain't that I got it all. But I serve the one who does have it all now. And if my talking is offending you, it's just I'm more biblical with my words than you are. Don't hate me for that. Don't hate me for being a victorious believer. Come on, don't hate me for that. See, you've already been given the victory. It's the devil's job and it's demon's job to convince you that you don't have it. And if they ever do, it's going to be evident in how you talk. Final thing, the reason why God is good, and you should always be able to give him the thanks. I'm preaching this message to somebody. Don't you just feel good because people are in your corner. Because I'm here to tell you, them same people will move out of your corner. Folk that praise you today, come on. Why y'all looking like that? I done did it. Y'all so sensitive. I done prayed people 1 minute, then next minute, I'm giving them the blues. And my wife should have said, amen. I done praise up before then the next day. They're talking down. But just yesterday, she was so wonderful and one of the best things ever happened to me. And then let something go wrong, you know, come on, married folk. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all too sensitive. Too sensitive. Some of you right now thinking, I ain't doing nothing preaching. Don't make nobody preaching on you. I'm guilty. What I look like teaching to people, be happy because you got a corner full of folk cheering for you. What you gonna do when all them folk leave your corner and then go get in your worst enemy corner? And now that same cheer they used to give you, now they cheering for your enemy. What you gonna do, drop your head and cry? Pastor, what should I do? You should look in that corner and make sure Jesus is still over here in this corner. And if Jesus is still over here in this corner, boy, I'm going to be shouting in this. You know what, folks? Look at me so stupid. Ain't nobody with me all by itself. Devil is alive. This furnace experience. There's one in here that the natural eye can't see. I know we put three in there, but look now. I see four off in there. You better recognize God to get in that furnace with you. This ain't no knock to nobody. But the final thing, the reason why God is so good and he's worthy of thanks is because unlike men, me and you, God don't change. The same way he good today, he gonna be good tomorrow. If he should tarry and next week come, guess what he gonna be doing next week? Guess what he gonna be doing the Christmas season? Why? Because he is what?
Good.
Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad. God ain't like you. We good sometime. And if you good all the time, come on up here. I'm going to expose how bad you really are. Look at Malachi 3:6 and then I'm done. Everything is easy for me to give God thanks. He's a forgiving God. He give me the victory. And number three, he don't change on me. You don't ever have to worry about God changing on you. Never. Never. Is that something to be thankful about? Is that something to be thankful about? You have a job paying $25 an hour, God going to be good to you. But if you get stripped of that job and go down and make it minimum wage, guess what God's still going? He's still going to be good to you. You have a pocket full of money and he'll move for you somewhere. But then you could not have a dime in your pocket and he'll still show up and be good to you. And you didn't have no money. I'm trying to close this thing. I went the other day, this week, going through a whole lot of stuff, like a lot of folk. Went to buy something. Got to the place, the folk told me it's going to be almost $200. I had the $200. But I didn't want to give it for that. I'm going to close after this. I don't want to give it up for that. How many of you ever had the money, but you, I just didn't want to give it up for that? So I'm standing there and I tell the guy, I said, man, that's high. He said, yeah, man. He said, it is now. He said, but he said, it's the best. And I said, well, I need the best. And one thing about me, I try to buy the best whenever I buy something. I ain't going to pay $100 for something that's warranted for a year when I could have spent $25 more and got a 5-year warranty. See, I'm going to get the better one now. That's just how I know some of y'all just, you know. But anyway, I'm just standing there. And so the guy go get it, and he like, well, this is what it is, man. He said, it's good, though. And by that time, somebody walked through the store, and they looked at me. He said, hey, I said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. So I got to get this battery. You know what they said? They told the people. They said, that's my nephew. He said, give him my discount. Give him my discount for that. And I'm looking. I said, well, thank you, huh? I appreciate it. Now I know what kind of discount he had. I'm still thankful. I don't care if it knocked off $10. I'm right there in that show saying, thank you, huh? Favor. Got up there and they rung it up. $99. You think I wasn't grateful? I said, you think I went? The first thing I said, it better is here. I don't care what you going through. Better is here. Malachi 3:6, and I'm getting out of here. Tell your neighbor, wherever you go, look for better. Whatever store you go in, look for better. Whatever meeting you got set up, look for better. Gotta look for it. And I was gonna go to 2 other stores, but the Holy Spirit said, no, go to such and such. Malachi 3:6, we gotta go. For I am the Lord. Listen what he decrees. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Tell your neighbor, no way you can lose. Tell your neighbor, because your good God do not change. Tell your neighbor, change equates 2 things. Number one, God don't lie. So I can be so thankful. God say, I'm coming out. I don't care what y'all say. If God say it's going to be all right. If I got to write it on the chalkboard 100 times, it's going to be all right. Number two, change means that God does not fail. God never fails. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good.